Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with you, as always, the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Wonderful in Jesus, brother.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise God. It is now Thursday this week. We are really, really excited because we are no longer inching forward towards our new radio, 24-hour radio station. We are running and sprinting forward towards it, and I think we will probably have a hard date to announce to you in the next set of radio shows. So I'm really, really excited to be able to announce that hard date and get some material for you guys to help us get the word out, because it's great to have a really good radio station. It's great to have a doctrinally sound radio station. It's even better if people actually listen to it. So we need your help to get it out. Just like these shows, guys, we're so blessed when you guys do share them, and I see you guys online. I try to like it when I find it anywhere, but I see you guys online sharing every single day that we put out an episode, and that means a ton, because that says that, one, you're growing from it, and two, you want other people to grow
from
it. Yes,
thanks for getting our stuff out, guys, because it's your stuff too. It's the Lord's.
Amen, amen. Mm-hmm. So, with all that, guys, we are really, really excited, and also kind of looking about what's going on.
Dismayed, too.
Dismayed. I wouldn't say confused, because the Bible is so clear on a lot of on this subject, as well as many, 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 many other things. But Trump's Middle East peace plan. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
Scary, guys. Mm-hmm. Paying attention, I hope.
Oh, I hope you are paying attention to what's going on. I hope you are clinging to Jesus no matter what, regardless of what peace plans put forth. We need to be clinging to Jesus. But the fact that we are talking about, and we're going to get more in depth on this, dividing up Israel a bit. I think anytime I hear something on the news where here's what's going on in the Middle East, my ears tend to perk up. And I go, okay, what's going on over there? And then when I saw this bombshell, biblically speaking, kind of drop, I said, okay, this is kind of interesting. So, Joe, maybe you get in a little more detail to what's going on there.
No, yeah, good intro, bro, because we do need to pay attention. And Jesus said we're supposed to be watching for his return. And you don't watch by getting on a hill and just looking up at the clouds. You watch the signs of the times. He talked about, you know, with the parable of the fig tree, when you see these things taking place, you know that summer is near. You know, when you see the fig tree budding and so forth. And when you see these things happening, you know his coming is near. So look for the signs of his return. And his return is tied to the things that he outlined in Matthew chapter 24. He talked about a lot of spiritual deception. We focus on a lot of that in our studies and what the Bible warns about, and sticking to the word of God and recognizing counterfeits and not be led astray. But a big part of the end time scenario revolves around Israel, which is really like God's timepiece, because it's in Matthew 24 where Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, it says, let the reader understand, you know, he said to take off. And I'll be reading that text a little bit later, but Jesus talks about the land of Israel being taken over by the Antichrist at a certain point in history, but the scriptures reveal that there will be a peace plan that will set the stage for that. And this is really crazy, because a lot of people think, you know, wow, Trump is so great because he's doing all these wonderful things. And I think most of us will say, praise God for a number of things. We'll praise God that he's the one president that went down to the March for Life and gave a speech. He's done some things that are that we would say are very, very praiseworthy. Although there's a lot of times people do things and they do two different things. And then you have to watch really closely to see what's their end game. Because we've warned people for a long time, even though, hey, we had no qualms with the idea that Trump was by far better than the other candidate, baby, pro-baby killing candidates and so forth. We get that, you know, absolutely. I have a number of brothers and sisters that voted for Trump, and I would never say, oh, you shouldn't vote for him. I did it personally because I have some had some checks. I had a really hard time early on, and I didn't vote for anybody else either. I knew he was going to win the state of California, so I didn't have to have it on my conscience.
Well, Hillary was going to win that,
Or Hillary was going to win California, so I'd have to, you know. But at the same time, you know, if he was running in my neighborhood, you know, I voted on other issues, but if he was running in my neighborhood of my cul-de-sac, and it was him or Hillary, and one was pro-life and one was pro-death, you know, and I had to vote, you know, obviously I wouldn't vote for Hillary. But what I'm saying is this. You can't just say rah, rah, rah because somebody's done some things that you agree with. You have to say, who is this person? What are they doing? What's the word of God say? And how does God view these decisions? So amidst an impeachment that's going on, and you know, by the time you hear this episode, they will either voted not to have witnesses, maybe acquitted them or not. I don't know. But either way, there's a lot of smoke blowing in the air regarding, you know, that people aren't recognizing something really huge just happened. I mean, you have Netanyahu, you have his opponent, Benny Gantz, in the elections together behind Trump's peace plan, the most extensive, detailed, 80 pages or so, I've read some of it, peace plan for Israel, being accepted by these two, also by being accepted by Qatar and Saudi Arabia and, you know, the Egypt, you know, some of the nations that came against Israel in 1967 war actually for this peace plan. And the Palestinians aren't accepting it yet, but there's a lot of pressure that can be put upon them with regard to withholding money eventually, diplomacy, other Arabic nations that are putting pressure on them. Trump's been cozying up with a lot of the Muslim leaders just for this purpose, to have them. Remember, this guy wrote The Art of the Deal. And when he first was becoming president, not long before the election, he was asked, have you ever asked for forgiveness? Ask God for forgiveness. He said, no. He said, because I've never sinned. Now, you can't know God and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and say that you have never sinned and that you don't need Jesus. And some people say, oh, well, maybe he became a Christian since. Well, I haven't seen a public testimony where he's publicly been baptized since coming to Jesus or publicly confessed that Jesus is now his Lord and Savior. He recognizes himself as a sinner. He trusts in his shed blood for him. And he believes that, you know, that you know, he lifts up the name of Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can say God all you want. You know, the demons believe and tremble. But he hasn't renounced those words and a number of other things as well. But I say this because when you have a deal being made regarding the Middle East that has to do with dividing the land of Israel, you are in huge trouble. Mm-hmm. When we sat down to do the show, Tony shook his head. He goes, man, our nation's in trouble. We need to pray. Yeah. You know, I think Trump doesn't realize what he's doing.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking, I hope he doesn't realize what he's doing, because if he does and he knows what's going on, he's blatantly on the wrong side here, because the Bible warns about these things happening in the last days. And by the way, even Benjamin Netanyahu, I remember a few years back, you know, when he was running for another term, he's stating emphatically that he's against a two-state solution. He's against carving up the land of Israel like a turkey. Those are my words. But he's against taking Israel and dividing it and making two countries out of the land, a Palestinian state and a state of Israel. And in March of 2015, it was reported that Netanyahu, after he won the election, quote, a late surge in voting, which many commentators believe was encouraged by Netanyahu's late-minute declaration that he would never accept a two-state solution to the Palestinian question, and it goes on. So I remember that, and I went online. I said, I'll find articles real quickly because I remember him saying he won't accept a two-state solution. Well, guess what he's doing now? He's accepting a two-state solution. And I'm going to tell you what, right now, I think it's really crazy. All kinds of professing Christian leaders who were against a two-state solution, who would have been having conniptions and heart attacks online, because if Barack Obama, you know, rolled out a two-state solution for Israel, they would be freaking out right now.
Mm-hmm.
But because Trump, oh, well, he's God's man. And they put Trump and what he's doing above the Word of God. The Word of God warns about not dividing up God's land.
You know, I have to say, I've actually seen that. In fact, we had multiple people, when we just posted our video on Trump being involved with Epstein, to a very slight degree, even comparatively, specifically to Clinton, People literally said to us, you can't be of God if you don't understand that Trump is for him. Like, we're not really a ministry.
So Trump is the barometer, not Jesus.
Not right. Jesus.
And how
not
you relate to Trump is shows where you're at, not how you relate to Jesus. If you relate to Trump before Jesus, that's idolatry.
Then go accept Paula White, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's his chief of staff. That's not of the Lord. That gal is a Jezebel. Yeah. She's an apostate.
Yep.
You know, she's a false prophetess. She's I don't want to go down to Paula. We just did the whole thing on her.
Sorry, look what I did.
But, you know, I was telling folks, watch out. I mean, yeah, you know what? I was like, wow, Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. That's huge. He relocated the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That's huge. He recognized the Golan Heights and some of the Jewish settlements. That's huge. But guess what? This is what I was concerned about. Underneath all the rumblings, and there was, guess what? The Trump administration was rolling out the idea that these things are being done to put pressure on Israel to make a peace plan that would potentially involve a two-state solution. That's like, hey, saying, you know, that's like your neighbor saying they want half your house or a big chunk of your house. You say no. Another neighbor coming and saying, you know, that's not right. But hey, you know what? How about we recognize, you know, your house as this part of the neighborhood? Okay. Da, da, da. And then before you know it, hey, since we've given you all this, guess what? That neighbor gets half your house. The neighbor gets a big part of your house. It's not worth it, folks. And that was my concern. I mean, remember, this guy wrote the book Art of the Deal. I mean, he is a real estate mogul, and he thrives on making deals. And when he became president, I thought, you know what? Don't you dare try to make a deal by selling out Israel and giving up a lot of their land, you know, for your ego, because that'll be contrary to God's will. And then what kind of player will you be in the end time scenario, you know? In fact, I was reading from the Jerusalem Post a couple days back, the long anticipated deal of the century. That's what it's called, by the way, on the government site. If you go to the Gov site, you'll see it's called Deal of the Century. The long anticipated deal of the century peace plan. And this is crazy because, brothers and sisters, if you haven't realized it yet, the Bible warns about a peace plan in Israel, okay, that's done, that brings the Antichrist to power, okay, that has to do with dividing up their land. It has to do with a lot of the things that are taking place right now when you start looking at this peace plan. The Bible says when they're saying peace and security, their sudden destruction comes upon them in the run-up to the end times, and that's dealing with the end time scenario regarding Israel and Jerusalem. Jerusalem Post states, the long-anticipated deal of the century peace plan is a manifestation and affirmation of the Bible for U.S. President Donald Trump's core constituency, evangelical Christians. Man, I'm reading this stuff and my heart's just breaking. It's like, wow, the evangelicals should be the ones in his cabinet that are saying, don't do that, you know? Trust God. Mm-hmm. Remember, from God's point of view, everything doesn't revolve around America and Donald Trump, okay? It revolves around his divine plan. He made an old covenant with Israel. He made a new covenant. Because of his covenant with Abraham, he has not forgotten Israel, and they're still the apple of his eye, and all Israel will be saved, Romans chapter 11. But in the meantime, he's telling people, don't mess with my people. You don't mess with the weatherman. I did a five-part series called Don't Mess with the Weatherman, where you start cutting up Israel's land, you start attacking Israel. God specifically has, he says he'll chase you with his storms. And I did a five-part series where I basically document what's happened to nations who have messed with Israel, where literally this devastating storms beyond the pale of coincidence have come to pass. You know, Tony mentioned that when I came in here.
Yep. Yeah, I have several of them listed here from back in March 26, 1979, when they did the Egypt-Israel peace treaty. 2 days later, Three Mile Island accident. And then I have notes all the way through 2011.
Yeah, in fact, Tony said he's going to post the five-part series I did, because I go through all these different occurrences that took place, and I go through the scriptures, more importantly.
It's pretty remarkable.
Talk about how God will, and that's the serious for our nation, folks. So they go on to talk about Israel just got kissed by God. Mike Evans continued, this is from the Jerusalem Post, I am not referring to Donald Trump as God, but I am saying he has divine inspiration. Dr. Mike Evans, founder of the Friends of the Zion Museum and a member of the Trump Faith Initiative, said in an interview with the Jerusalem Post a day before the expected publication of the plan to resolve the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Evans revealed that in private briefings, both with the president's peace team and the president himself, he learned that, quote, The plan does not take away the major biblical sites. And this is everything we were hoping for. Everything. Okay, so you were hoping that as long as you don't touch the biblical sites, you could take and divide up God's land and take it away from the Jews. God, by the way, if you look at the land of Israel right now, it's far smaller than what God had given them. And now they're giving up more. And God warned Israel in the past not to appease the nations. He warned them not to rely on other nations like Egypt and chariots and horses, but to rely on him. And right now, sadly, Israel is relying on us. And we are saying, hey, we've done some things for you lately. Divide up your land and give a big portion of your land to the Palestinians.
That's Joel 3, right?
That's Joel 3, right? And we'll get into that in a second, you know, because this is actually fulfilling different passages. And it's sad because Trump reminds me of the kings of Israel who oftentimes would allow themselves to be influenced by false prophets. And Trump brought him in. He chose him. He chose people. Paula Wade, you saw her, you know, this gal on TV, a televangelist, is all about money and, you know, and she fit the bill, you know, for his lifestyle and everything else, and thought that that must be a sign of, you know, the pragmatism and prosperity must be a sign that God's with her or whatever he thought. And I don't necessarily think that he's thinking God's with her. I think Trump, I'm just being honest, he's done some great things. I'd much rather have him than Hillary, but I'll comment on that later. Let's see what goes on in the next few years, because I might say, whoa, man, because I wouldn't choose either of them personally, but I'm very grateful. Having said that, you know, keep in mind, folks, I am very grateful for a lot of the good things that have happened, but you don't want to ignore what's going on right now, which is a huge thing, because we haven't overturned Roe versus Wade, okay, with speech and everything else. Our country is still on a very immoral trajectory. That's not changing, okay? What is changing is topography of Israel right now, and it's exactly what God's word warns would take place. In fact, in this so-called deal of the century, God's word warns. God's word, it talks about Paula White in this Jerusalem Post article too, as one of his advisors, and the advisors are all excited that, you know, Evans maintains that the president has given us a seat at the table. We have access to the administration, access to Mike Pompeo, that's the Secretary of State, and Mike Pence, of course, the Vice President. And he knows that every one of us has these beliefs, meaning in Israel, and we are so grateful. You have beliefs in what? In Israel or what God says about Israel? Well, you know what God's word says about Israel? Brothers and sisters, you know when at Armageddon, you know when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, you know what he's going to do? You know who he's going to judge? Those who divided up his land.
Yep.
In fact, listen to Joel chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. For behold, in those days, and at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, by the way, it happened in 1948. He says, I will gather all the nations. He first brought them back to a nation in 1948. And now he's been bringing people back ever since. And the culmination of that time will be when the Lord returns and he brings the believers into the land at the second coming of Christ. He'll touch the Mount of Olives. We'll reign with him for 1,000 years. He'll bring those who've been, it says Israel will be converted in a day. He'll bring them back to the land at his second coming. He'll say, I'll gather the nations and bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is talking about Armageddon in the Valley of Megiddo, and then also the leaders in Jehoshaphat. Then I will enter into judgment with them. There, these are the leaders. At the end of the age, which isn't, we believe, too far away, and I'll bring them down to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, then I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel. My inheritance, he emphasizes, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. Listen to this. And they have divided up my land. You know, this is why, this is Joel 3, this is end times. It's not disputed, this is talking about the end times. When the Lord returns in judgment, he will come into judgment against the nations that have divided up his land. Right now, you have the United States working with Saudi Arabia and Qatar and EAU and Egypt and so forth, you know, and other Arabic Muslim type nations ready to join in as well, trying to bring this to pass. Right now, the Palestinians are saying no, but the United States and those other nations will wield a lot of force to get them to accept this plan. Are we saying this is the plan and it's going to be accepted and this is it? Hey, I don't know if it is or not for sure. We're going to have to wait and see. I haven't had a vision from the Lord at night saying this is the plan. But what I'm saying is anything I see going on like this, as Chad mentioned at the top of the show, man, you've got to, your spiritual discernment antennas better go doing. You better be looking and watching. You don't mess with the Lord God, you guys, and we don't want to divide up land. So it's interesting. What should we expect to see? What should we expect to see in the final Antichrist end time plan that's utilized by the Antichrist? Well, we should expect to see the land divided up. you can go online and you can look at the peace plan. You can go to Google Images. You'll see what's going to the Palestinians. And will now be the state of Palestinia in the land of Israel, which will not be Israel anymore. It'll be the land of Palestine. It won't be considered part of Israel. Then you'll see the land of Israel, which will be distinct, both in the land of Israel. Guess what else you'll see? You'll see that there'll be an agreement. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. And I'll make a firm covenant with the many. I'm sorry. And he will make a firm covenant with the many, Daniel writes, for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until the complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So in the middle of the seven-year period, there'll be a seven-year covenant. We don't know how long this covenant is yet. A number hasn't been given. It's still being worked out as far as the particulars. If you hear 7 years, then we're like, uh-oh, you know. But in the middle of this covenant, the grain offerings are put to stop. So it's almost as though, keep in mind, the covenant that is made when he, the Antichrist, makes a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, it's a covenant that involves the Jews. In the middle of the week, he, the Antichrist, will put a stop to the sacrifice and grain offering. Now think about that. That means eventually the temple sacrifices will be reenacted. You can build a temple in a year and a half. When you start hearing that part of this deal, since Israel now has access to more of their land and it's their land and now this is Palestine's land, and then they could build now. They could perhaps build a temple and they will eventually. And it says that the grain offering, the sacrifice of grain offering, would be put to a stop. Why? Because it says, on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until they complete destruction. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So the Antichrist will, at the middle of the 3.5 years, say, I got to deal with you guys. This is great. But guess what? Now I'm going to sit in the temple of God, showing that I'm God. Somebody with a really big ego is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, you know, that wants people to fawn over him and worship him. You know, and it's interesting, we know this is what's going to happen, because listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 24, and give us a more detailed understanding of what he's prophesying here. And he says in Matthew 24, 15 through 18, this is what we're supposed to watch out for. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel, the prophet, we just read about it, standing in the holy place, that's the temple, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. If you're in Judea, flee to the mountains. In other words, guess what? This is going to wreak havoc on the Jews in Judea and believers in Judea. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in the house, in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Verse 22, unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. Couldn't have happened 50 years ago, guys. Couldn't happen 150 or 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, because that no leader was capable of destroying the entire world. But unless those days had been cut short, it says no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Now, interesting. Isn't this interesting? There's a compromise going on. We see that the Temple Mount, in Judea, there's a mixture of bad guys and there's also Jews there. That means the Jews will still be there after this peace deal. And the Lord's people are called to flee. And that would be those who recognize the abomination of desolation. Many of the Jews will receive the Antichrist. Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name, you receive me not. But another one comes in his own name, him you're going to receive. He's telling his disciples, which are the early Christians, to flee when they see this. There'll be a lot of Christians in the land at that time that'll see this take place, and they'll flee and they'll take off. There'll be other Jews that are converted. Most of the believers in the land right now in the 100 Messianic congregations, most of them are Jewish believers at the Messianic congregations. But guess what? Trump's peace plan, listen to what it says. It has to do, it shows us the same template, the same picture. On page 12 of the Deal of the Century, we read, this vision is a fair compromise and contemplates a Palestinian state that encompasses territory reasonably comparable in size to the territory of the West Bank. That's Judea, folks, and Gaza pre-1967. So we're talking about Judea, being much of Judea being given to the Palestinians, to the Muslims. Now, it's interesting. So the homeland of the Palestinians is going to be is going to be part of Judea. It's just amazing. Now, this peace plan of the century, again, also involves the Temple Mount. What does the Bible say about the Temple Mount in the end times? Guess what? It resembles a lot of what this peace plan is talking about. Listen to Revelation 11, 1 and 2. Then there was given me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, get up and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship in it, but leave out the court. Leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it. Why? It doesn't say why. I'm not out of the book of Revelation, but I'm saying why. For it has been given to the nations, and they will tread underfoot the holy city for 42 months. In other words, the Lord God is saying, don't measure the outer courts of the temple. It sounds like the temple is going to be allowed to be rebuilt. And that's where the abomination, desolation will take place when the Antichrist steps in the middle of the seven-year period and says, hey, worship me, you know? And according to Paul, says he'll sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, and so forth. It's pretty crazy when you think of what the scriptures talk about coming. And then, but guess what we're reading in Revelation? The nations are going to trample underfoot the outer court. Well, guess what it says on page 16 of Trump's deal of the century, his peace plan, to carve up and divide up the Lord's land, which the Lord said that he's going to judge the people to do that. Do not get behind Trump on this. Get behind Jesus and the word of God on this. Page 16 of the deal of the century, quote, Jerusalem's holy sites should remain open and available for peaceful worshipers and tourists of all faiths. That's all nations, folks. People of every faith should be permitted to pray on the Temple Mount, Hiram al-Sharif, in a manner that is fully respectful of their religion. In other words, it's not going to be dedicated to Israel, even though Israel will have, you know, that part of Jerusalem. Guess what? It's going to be a place where all the faiths, all the nations could gather together to worship. That's exactly what it says in Revelation will be happening, that area will be trampled underfoot by the different nations, guys. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying this deal is the deal, okay? What I am saying is there's a couple other things we need to watch for, though, that if they pop up, then you know it's, ooh, man, it looks like it's the deal, maybe. And that is Daniel 9, 24 through 27, specifically verse 27, talks about it being made a seven-year covenant. It's in the middle of the covenant that the Antichrist sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God, okay? So when you, if there's a seven-year covenant attached to this, and it's specifically dealing, it's this peace plan, you know what? We need to be praying already. We need to be watching, because whether this is a seven-year plan or not, or whether this bridges a gap to the seven-year plan, it's still evil and it's still wrong, because it calls Israel to divide up their land and give it to the pagan nations. And that's exactly what God says he's going to judge Israel for. And now they're getting Israel to agree with this. And it's heartbreaking. You know what? When I see things like this, it makes me think of Jesus' words. Because the Lord God warns in Luke 21, 28, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Verse 34, Jesus says, be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength. You need to have strength at that time to endure. Jesus says, he that endures the end of the tribulation, he says, will be saved. That you may have strength to escape all these things, so you don't fall into the drunkenness, into worry, and so forth, that are about to take place, these deceptions, and so that you can stand before the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, Christ is coming. Jesus is coming, just like he said. Stick to Jesus, be loyal to him and his word, and recognize we have a lamp that shines in a dark place. And we do well to look at it as it heralds Christ's coming. But before he comes, Antichrist comes, and we must persevere in the faith. Love you guys. Press on Jesus. Praise God that you're into the show. Notice we deal with a lot of subjects, and we hope we keep you invigorated in God's word and looking up to Jesus.
Amen.
Praise God for you.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.